episode, a half-isode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. I'm co-host Mike. This is my co-host, also Mike.
I'm also Mike.
We're fresh off just trying the Dirty Dancing move, or I hold him up and then I have a bad back.
It didn't go well.
Just crumple to the floor and a heap of humanity.
It didn't go well. You watched that giant commercial with Eli and Odell too many
times? Oh, that was so funny. That was the first thing I thought of when we were reviewing this. But yeah.
Listen, the tangential YouTube watches on this category is worth the price
strong,
of admission.
Very strong.
Because you could just watch a couple of these songs and then watch a whole bunch more. So we highly recommend that. Like, there's Pointer Sisters deep dives that have to happen.
I can't remember
George
now.
Michael deep dives.
I got caught up in something so bad yesterday. It's funny you said that. It was just like out of the 80s. Anyway, we're doing a half episode. Like we said, if you haven't been with us for half episodes thus far, what we do with these, they're short shot episodes. We try to keep them to around a half hour each. And we have thus far stuck to only best original songs, but we try to do kind of the lesser known Oscar categories, have a little fun with them, and we take off our movie criticism hats and put on our ridiculous and anything else criticism hats.
Yeah, thank you to Wikipedia. Thank you to YouTube.
Yes.
You save us. You make these episodes possible. We have a lot of fun with these.
And as always, thank you to Patrick Swayze.
Do you think his real name was like Frazee and that was a very poor attempt at coming up with a stage name? Or is that just me who does this?
What?
Frazee or Swayze?
Well, this is off to a hot start.
That joke sounded much better written down. All right, I'll give you another one about Patrick Swayze.
Oh, please do. I was
hoping. Which is a fake name. Yeah. It's a fake name. Swayze.
I was hoping that wasn't the only material.
Nobody has S-C-H-W to start their name. Nobody. It's a
fake
name.
German people?
This just broke my brain. All right, better question.
Yep.
Sorry, I apologize.
Yep,
better question. Should his haircut be considered a mullet?
That's interesting. That could have some debate. Yeah, that's got
question.
A little merit
it's
to it.
It's an important question.
It is. It's one we should probably get to the bottom of.
I mean, it angles down, so it doesn't flow outside the neck. It's contained within the neck.
It is. But it's still a party in the back type deal.
It's a party
but
in the back.
It also has a lot on the
There's
top.
A lot of parties in the back.
A whole lot of parties.
Of 80s hairdos.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. I you're the hair expert here. You're the wig. If they were to present that to you as a wig, what would you classify
again,
as?
Again... It's kind of a mullet.
I think it is a mullet.
Well, by today's standards, 100% a mullet.
Yeah.
By those standards, it's like
the greatest
a crew
hair of all
cut.
Time.
Yeah.
Crew cut. We're covering the 60th Academy Awards, which were held at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles on April 11th, 1988. We're doing the songs of the best original songs from the movies of 1987. And as you can tell by what we started on, get your ballet slippers on. Call up Jennifer Grey. Nobody puts baby in a corner. Here was the winner and the taste of the first song.
Just remember.
Was Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing, music by Frankie Previte, John DeNicola, and Donald Markowitz, lyrics by Frankie Previte.
You forgot a major name in there. Michael McDonald involved.
Really? Was he?
Yeah,
Wikipedia didn't give him any credit. He didn't get an
Oscar.
If
you go on the regular page, he's there.
All right.
Y'all will be there.
Y'all will be there. Up and over.
That's it. And we can sing like him in our own brains.
Which is the most important part.
That's what's great about this category for large men such as ourselves. We can sing. That's my voice. But we can do that. And I also want to mention, this is very important, the 1980s, who could be cool? That range is much wider than it is today in 2018.
Well, yeah, because bullying was more of a thing then.
Bill Medley, in no other time and place, could be cool. But here he is,
just
the coolest cat in the world.
Well, it has a lot to do with this song, too, because find me someone that can listen to this song without at least like tapping their toe or nodding their head. Like, this song, it might be perfect.
This dude's 45. He's white with a a really orangey tan.
Oh, yeah. He's our president.
The hair is going, and he is the coolest guy in the world at one point. He had a Donald Glover-like moment back in 1987.
Well, maybe not that much.
Bill Medley. Bill Medley.
I don't think he was starring in his own show on FX.
His real name was Schmedley. He went the reverse.
There you go. S-C-H.
Now do you get it?
You can see what the the theme of this episode is going to be.
Jennifer Warnes, what an outfit at the AMAs.
Oh, I saw that video.
We couldn't find the Oscar video.
No, but there is a video of they do a medley for I think All About Dirty Dancing at the AMAs.
I may have watched this more than once because it starts with Frankie Previte's writing Hungry Eyes.
Yes, by Eric Cartman. Not Eric Cartman. Eric Cartman. And he's got, first of all, Flock of Seagulls like you have never. I don't know. If he sits in a movie theater, the next 18 rows behind him can't see.
It's 2 minutes of power stance. Just tapping the one foot, with the bent knee.
And they have the girl that's like supposed to be in love with him, giving him the hungry eyes. And he doesn't pay her a second of attention. He has no interaction with her. You are not worthy of Eric Carmen's time.
He's got that Tiger Woods fist in the air, just tapping that foot with the bent knee.
Go right into... Bill Medley and
Jennifer Warnes.
Jennifer Warnes' name.
With
here.
Keds on underneath that getup, which is phenomenal.
A beautiful like gown, and then she's just rocking sneakers, which I love.
Humongous glasses, or am I just putting those on her in my memory?
I think if she took them off, though, she'd be a beauty queen. That was the lesson we learned from the 80s movies.
That's right. Listen, this is a lot of 80s movies cliches coming.
Oh, yeah.
I just think of Not Another Teen Movie. Like, how are all these kids at the prom professional dancers?
Well, that's what happened with the clip in the movie here.
Choreography and everything.
They said that's one of the things I have written down. Like, this is supposed to be a big dramatic moment in Dirty Dancing where Baby gets her man back and Johnny's going to dance with her.
He goes rogue, by the way.
Yeah.
On stage. He jumps off the stage, steals the show, which she's okay with because he's doing
his everybody
thing.
Knows the dance.
They know. They come back at her like she's on the stage.
They start dancing with him.
And they are just like choreographed to a T. But here's the thing. We've watched Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
X amount of times. Of course. We won't tell you how many. This is the kind of group, though, the group of friends, group of dancers, that we can justify in our brains would choreograph a just-in-case dance-off finale for the ending of
this
movie.
See, in my head, I have it different. I have it like everyone just started doing it at the same time, but there was a couple people that didn't even realize they didn't have control of their own body. They were like, had questionable looks on their faces.
He has been dancing this entire time in his chair. I want you to know this. And he's doing a very good job. I didn't know you had such rhythm.
But speaking of rhythm, Swayze moves like a fucking gazelle in this video. In this movie, he is out of his mind dancing. Get you a girl that looks at you the way Jennifer Grey looks at Patrick Swayze.
Getting Jennifer Grey's hips right and the hip movements, that's like half this movie, I think, because it's half of the clips that we see. Just Swayze's hips.
It's like the only thing they knew that dancers actually concentrate on, so they kept going back to it over and over.
Listen, Dancing with the Stars would not exist without this movie,
this song. That's a bold statement.
This music video. I'm impressed. And I'm also impressed with Swayze's shoulders because the dude can military press over 100 pounds. That's good for him.
Oh, and you could tell that's a shot. Like, that's a clean shot of Swayze lifting up Jennifer Grey.
It's like a clean and jerk because he gets her from the belly. And then he launches. It's an awkward angle for the shoulders. That's how I blew out mine, I think.
You were doing it to me. That's why. It's an easy way to... and can we have one more shot of Jerry Orbach attempting to like interrupt the dance in the middle of it with his wife grabbing his arm and saying, "Not yet, honey."
I hate white people. I really do. God damn white people. Old white people suck.
Good for the number 9 ranked best Oscar-winning song of all time, according to WatchMojo, if you were into those top 10 lists.
Watch that mashup with Hungry Eyes. That's phenomenal.
Watch everything about
I'm pretty sure Hillary Clinton wore the same outfit during the campaign.
Pretty sure that was
too.
Hillary Clinton with Bill Medley.
She had the same look back in the 80s.
She really did,
In the 90s.
The Skechers, yeah.
She watched Dirty Dancing when Bill was screwing around, I think.
And Jennifer Grey, I want to marry after watching this again for the billionth time.
She's still awesome in...
Yeah, she is.
In Red Oaks. You watch Red Oaks?
I don't lie, but I've seen her a couple things, but not Red Oaks.
Amazon, Red Oaks.
She's just phenomenal.
So Liza Minnelli and Dudley Moore announced this category. Dudley Moore wasn't drunk, so that's good. Oh, my God. All of the, the writers come on stage. Not Michael McDonald, by the way, so you have a point.
So
we were both right again.
Yamo won't be there.
No, Yamo wasn't there.
Yamo wasn't there.
I don't get that wordplay, I guess.
I don't either.
They all look like Howard Stern at the beginning of Private Parts.
Just a huge blow. The hairspray industry the late 80s especially must have been just rolling in money.
Look, some of these people should have avoided the trend. They should have avoided
it. Yeah, like all of them, I think. We say that as two guys with barely any hair ourselves, so we're just jealous.
I got some going. I've had the same haircut my whole life. I just have.
Let's take a sharp right-hand turn from the fun and games of this song into a much, much, much more serious song on a serious subject matter. Here's the song Cry Freedom from the movie Cry Freedom. Well, I hope you enjoyed the jokes from the first part, because I have none.
No. Right. I think, I mean, honestly, watching the trailer for this movie and knowing it's written Richard Attenborough and Kevin Kline and Denzel about South Africa and apartheid, this actually looks like a pretty darn good movie.
It does.
It's been on my list for a long, long time.
I'm surprised you haven't seen it, actually.
I'm surprised, too, at myself. The song has quite the finish. I don't know what part you played just then, because we were recording before we played it, but I would suggest you play the ending.
Just assume I play the entire song. I'm making people listen to everything.
It's a long prologue. It kind of gets you into the trance. It kind of works. So I think it works better within the movie. I would really like to see where it fits in. So,
well, first of all, Cry Freedom from the movie Cry Freedom. Music and lyrics by George Fenton and Jonas Wangwa.
Performed by those same guys.
Yeah. Beautiful song. It's pretty haunting. But what I saw from the movie, I think they play it over the credits, because again, like you said, it deals with apartheid and governmental, basically the government murdering these protesters that was exposed due to these two men, that one was a reporter and one was an actual activist. The song is played over a list of people that had committed suicide, or quote-unquote suicide, while in government custody, and the reasons that the government gave for their losing their lives.
Air quotes.
Right.
Suicide.
So,
shit.
So that was it's powerful. Certainly powerful to watch.
Convincing accent from Denzel, I must say.
Yeah,
I mean, he's showing
chops. Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised by anything Denzel does, but he was really good. In 1987, don't forget. So we're talking about 30 years ago.
We have no choice. I mean, this entire movie is available on YouTube. Like, you can watch it.
Yeah, this might be something. I was actually surprised to see nothing for Denzel for actor, nothing for this movie for best picture. Carries like a 6.4, I want to say, on IMDb.
Based on the trailers and the music videos and I don't think Denzel is going to make it very far in this movie.
Yeah, it could be true too.
Rough. Yeah. It's very telegraphed. Forgive me, I don't know the history of the man.
Stephen Biko is the man.
Yeah, true story. Yeah, impossible to make fun of the song. I mean, this one, I will say, seems more like a nominee at any Oscars, though, right? And it could be a nominee at a movie made in the last 15 years, which is something unique to this category,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, it is. And I have that written down, that I think if these five songs came out in 2018, I think this is head and shoulders the winner how socially aware things, especially Hollywood, has become as far as social justice.
All the other songs are with full rock bands, Casio keyboards and saxophones that apparently were musts for rock bands back in the 80s.
Yeah, so without question. That should still be a must.
That doesn't fly anymore.
Much like the hair. The sax solos and the hair have become shorter as time has gone on. But yeah, don't be surprised if you hear us doing some Cry Freedom stuff in the future. We're both really intrigued by the movie. Like I said, extremely serious subject matter, extremely interesting looking film, very tough to kind of make light of at all. So I guess just...
The song has a payoff. So yeah, my guess is it really fits with the movie.
Yeah, that's it. I got no jokes.
No jokes.
All right, let's just move on to Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, because I got jokes.
We can make it if we're heart to heart. And we can build this thing together. Stand in the struggle.
many times have you seen the movie Mannequin?
I'd seen it long ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember it very well. I have a lot of rage built up towards it here, which is going against how much I adore this song, or how much this song won me over like an 80s movie.
Well, it's an 80s. I mean, this song, if you had an alien that you needed to introduce what the 80s were, you'd play like this song and show them The Breakfast Club.
This movie is not worthy of this song. This is the definition of a power ballad,
yes,
by the way.
Absolutely. Like, you can get this and five other discs for three payments of $9.99 at some point.
Just my notes just show how I am won over by the second view, because I kind of let the song play and I play it again, right, while I'm writing my notes. And I'm like, initially, this is sappy pop music stuff. How is it nominated for an Oscar?
Later.
This is awesomely bad at best. At best. And then I say, oh, well, it's one of those Oh That Song moments.
And now you're wearing a t-shirt of Starship.
Yeah, it's that song, right? Yeah, I mean, okay, it's kind of nominated. It's got nominated.
Right.
You know, it's fairly.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure I can sing exactly like Grace Slick when you have a few drinks in me. I'm still snarky here, moving down in my notes. So, they have a music video. So I watch the music video, and then I'm getting snarky again. Like, is Mannequin about a mannequin coming to life? A hot girl mannequin? What the fuck? That's kind of fucked up. So I'm getting off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a little mad again. And then skip down two lines. This song has won me over completely. I am not going to make fun of this song. It's great.
This song is my everything.
I love how they transition to the big finish with a giant, hey! I'm just smitten with this song.
This is the only reason I wake up in the morning. Started march dancing around his chair.
Yeah, I mean, this is a song that, you know, Tommy Boy and, what's his name? I'm him and what's I am what's his name? Who's Chris Farley's but David Spade.
Oh, David Spade. I had
this
no idea.
This is David Spade and Chris Farley listening to a song in their car in AS2, right?
It is quintessential 80s.
And then they blow it out after,
yes,
like, oh, I guess we can leave it on. Yeah, it's fine, right?
I'm cool with it if you are.
That was my journey with the song.
Wow, you had a really eye-opening emotional roller coaster there with this.
I wanted to share it with the people. I thought it was
Mannequin, by the way, carried a, I think, 27 meta score on Metacritic.
Good.
And you still see on its IMDb page, nominated for one Oscar.
It's like McCarthy, you know, got all the roles that Anthony Michael Hall turned down.
Right. Exactly. That is exactly what happened. The montage, nothing happens. I'm the same way. I have that goddamn montage. Nothing even happens. I can't explain it. But now I just feel like I'm missing out if I don't see Mannequin. Song is honestly not even that good, but I'm enraptured.
Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City.
Who looks nothing,
right,
like the Kim Cattrall of today. I was shocked.
Literally the object of his affections. You got the police academy chief is a cop in this movie too, so that's even more terrible. Perhaps the greatest pair of sunglasses of all time, I might add. And the dude wears them the entire movie. I'm pretty sure MC Hammer wore these later in the 90s, and WCW's Booker T as well for several pre-match walk-ups.
You're just
to the
pandering
ring
to your current audience, and you're doing a damn fine job.
Yeah, he's got those movies on for more than one scene in the movie during these clips. I can't believe it.
I have never seen Mannequin. I think I have to now after this song. Though I thought out of the two of us, I would be the one more in love with it. But clearly, that is a mantle that you
wrong
have reserved.
I was born earlier in the 80s than you, so I have more subconscious connections.
I bequeath all joy and love from this song to you.
But yeah, I mean, McCarthy's a spoiled, lonely white boy without all of his dreams come true yet, and then his tendency to objectify all women comes true in a fantasy.
Yeah.
Do you also want to engage in this unrealistic show for activity and call it love? Watch Mannequin. I wanted to redo the voice.
Hey, white people, you like movies?
Terrible.
Yeah.
But then here's this terrific song by Starship.
And let's not forget the origins of Starship. I just had to have my dad clarify for me. But the original Jefferson Airplane, which is responsible for some of my favorite songs out of the 60s and 70s, with Somebody to Love, obviously was made famous by the Cable Guy, had a renaissance in the 90s. But White Rabbit is one of my all-time favorite songs, which is a haunting look at the Alice in Wonderland storyline. But this Jefferson Airplane to Jefferson Starship to now Starship, Grace Slick, like you said, is at the helm here.
It's a great society, Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship. That's Grace Slick.
Yeah.
That's her.
So, and now she's just...
Musicography?
Build this thing together.
We like this song.
We'll move on to, oh boy, if this was an 80s enough, how about Beverly Hills Cop 2?
Oh my God.
Here's Shakedown. Judge Reinhold is like a bankable movie star.
Listen, this is another song, though.
Oh, boy.
It grows on you. It's got this weird allure. I can't explain it. Like, I kind of want to see this movie now because after watching the trailers.
Well, Bob Seger is America. Like, that's, if you have American blood, yeah, he's just awesome.
He's got to be really singing it in the music video, too. Like, he's going off. The saxophone guy's got a couple moments, too. Lifting the saxophone above his head. I mean, really going for it. I mean, you got...
Every song to be a hit in the 80s, required saxophone player. And not just the saxophone player, but, like, the most explosive, flamboyant, muscular saxophone player that you could find.
Yes, sir. So you're going to give us the specs?
No, let's just talk about how this movie... Did you see how this movie plays in the... How this song plays in the movie?
I saw the beginning scene where
Brigitte Nielsen...
Brigitte Flavor Flav Nielsen...
Running a jewel heist.
Which she's very good at, by the way.
Hollywood keeps remaking the same movies.
I don't know why she has to shoot down the chandelier, which is fascinating.
Make sure
I
you shoot down that chandelier before you leave. Yeah,
just shoot up the place. Shoot up the place.
Shoot first, ask questions later. Yeah. Shakedown from Beverly Hills Cop 2. Music by Harold Faltermeyer and Keith Forsey. Lyrics by Harold Faltermeyer, Keith Forsey, and, of course, Bob Seger, who performs it.
A guy getting dressed, I guess, is Eddie Murphy. I don't know if it was Eddie Murphy.
I couldn't take my eyes off.
It was a skinny guy getting dressed. Maybe that was where he was coming from, because he used to be just jeans and a Letterman's jacket with the Detroit Lions, you know, emblem on it.
Are you telling me the?
But now he's gone. No, he's gone to snooty. He's gone pro detective. Right.
Axel Foley has like evolved as a character. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. So now he's got to get back. Between. He's got to get back to his. He's got to get back to who he was in the first movie.
Right. Now here's this song's fatal flaw, though, because like. You said it's Bob Seger. It's a great song in its own right.
Your single fatal flaw,
the only black mark,
the only problem with the song is
it's not what Beverly Hills Cop is known for.
Well, that was the first one. This one went bigger,
but I don't care. There's no song that's going to outdo the Beverly Hills Cop relationship. It's going to tell me Beverly Hills Cop is going on like that first one.
I just listened to the. Audiobook about Miramax and all those.
Yes.
And it was a big thing back then where even if the movie wasn't great, they're like, oh, we got to get these 12 bands, humongous rock bands, humongously popular bands to put songs in the soundtrack.
Yeah, but look, that's the way to sell. I'm sure it cost money, but it had to have made money too, because remember how like soundtracks used to be the shit. Even when we were growing up, like Space Jam soundtrack, that thing was awesome. Everybody was in that.
Listen, Bob Seger watched the movie while he wrote the song, by the way, too. Because it's ridiculous. I mean, the principle that audiences love Korn, that was taught to me by my middle school music teacher. Shout out to you, Mrs. Shagnon. That's true. It's true. Because he's just like, shake down, stick him up, dooba dooba, I'm a cop. It's, yeah, come on. But the Pointer Sisters are on this soundtrack. Jermaine Jackson, Corey Hart, George Michael. It's a black hole on YouTube.
If I told you that Jermaine Jackson, Corey Hart, who were the other Pointer Sisters and who
Pointer
was the other
Sisters,
one?
Jermaine Jackson, George Michael.
George Michael. If I told you they were all... No, they were coming to town for a concert. How much would you pay for a ticket to that show?
I would. I don't want to mention it.
Does it go above $10?
My face went immediately red. Yeah, especially that George Michael's dead now.
Yeah, I would see George Michael. I would see a reanimated George Michael, or if they somehow brought him back. Yeah.
Do-do-do.
Jitterbug. Last song.
My love is like a storybook story.
But it's as real as the feelings I feel. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. It's as real as the feelings I feel. This love was stronger than the power so dark a prince could have within his keys.
See, now I'm fucked because I have Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go in my head from the Wake Me Up Before You... But that was, of course, Storybook Love from The Princess Bride. Music and lyrics by Willie DeVille. It was performed by Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits fame. The Princess Bride, a beloved movie. They just had a big part of the Andre the Giant documentary that you heard us talk about over and over again that HBO debuted last month in April. What do you got on this one?
I remember this song from my childhood.
I bet.
Yeah, this was a good movie for me. Definitely feels like a Best Original Song nominee kind of any year, even today a little bit. You know, because it's very connected to the movie.
Yeah, it is. It plays well in the movie. I just wasn't...
That is her horrendous mustache by Mark Knopfler. It is on the very bottom of his lip. Mm-hmm. It is very, very thin. It is over. He's got a highway through those teeth, which is fine. He's a skinny guy. The buttons on the shirt are not buttoned.
Of course. Well, it was the 80s.
The guitarist with a cult, member of a cult-like eye stare... It has all of his buttons on the, you know, straight up.
You recently said you were a fan of Electric Six, and you dare blast this man for being a member of a cult?
He's a member of a cult. He's the leader of a cult, I might say. No, he's a follower. That's a follower's gaze.
Yeah.
That's a follower's gaze. If only our audience would have that look about them, we will have succeeded.
Or about us, yes. That's what we want, is cult members.
But listen, a couple lyrics in this song. My love is like a storybook story, kind of redundant. It's like the feelings I feel, more redundancies. Mm-hmm. You know, Willie DeVille didn't know a lot of words, I guess.
Love is love.
Yeah. That's okay because it's a good song, though.
It's all right. I'm not enamored with it.
Look, everyone can't be as efficient as the MCU writers, I guess. I'm waiting for the words in the song, as you wish. You know, I'm waiting for those.
Right.
I mean,
right.
This is another, a song for a movie that was written while watching the movie over and over again. They basically just locked this famous musician into a room and they're like, write a song for this.
I can't tell you the number of times that this has nothing to do with the movie or the song, but the number of times that my buddy on the way home from baseball practice in high school would crank the Money for Nothing song by Dire Straits.
Sure,
and
naturally.
Just would like do a peel out at the top of one of the hills near my house and just go like 80 down the thing. So that's my relationship with Mark Knopfler in general.
I'm kind of a fan of Dire. I went through a Dire Straits phase, I'm not going
to
lie.
What was that like, a Dire Straits phase?
It was just have to be listened to. If they came on, there's like 10 good songs by the band.
Did you get a Windstar microwave oven?
Phase is a strong word. It's just musically, I listened to them a few nights of my life. I don't want to.
So you've heard them, not so much a phase as much as it is you know who Dire Straits
you're right.
is.
Phase was a strong word. A YouTube mashup fan trailer was pretty good. The music video for it was a nice trailer for the movie. You got the two guys singing. Well, you got the guy singing with the crazy-eyed guitarist with the projector with all the scenes from the movie The Princess Bride there. That mustache can sing. Too many close-ups of the guitarist, I would say, for sure.
But you probably say that about a lot of things.
It still works. It still works.
It's my number five, if we're re-ranking. I'm not crazy about it.
All right, so we're into the re-rank now?
Yeah, let's do the re-ranking, the perfecting musical perfection here as we do.
Yeah, Shakedown by Bob Seger is my number five. It goes against some of my principles, though, because I love Bob Seger.
Well, of course you do.
Yeah, but there it is.
Yeah, Storybook Love's five. My four is Shakedown. What's your four?
My four was Cry Freedom. Again, I kind of need the context of the movie. Like, I think it'll work better in the movie. It was a tough call.
Yeah, that's very fair, because from the clip I saw, it was really, really harrowing.
And the reason that I have Storybook Love as my number three is because I kind of know how it fits in a movie. They play it acoustically. It's like the anthem of the whole thing. It reminds me of that story. If I don't fixate on the mustache there, I'm enjoying it more.
It's your Bimbidi Bobbidi Boo too. It's your song from your childhood.
It's not there. I've already overestimated one phrase in this podcast already. But no, it's not that big for me. But it's
My three was Cry Freedom. My two is Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's my two.
Oh, is it?
It's a pretty great song. It's an anthem.
It is.
We've seen how anthems can be the, you know, bridesmaid and never the bride at Academy Award nominations.
Part of that, like classic hits. 72 songs on three discs for four easy payments.
Do you think this was the "This Is Me" of 1987? Though that's what I was trying to get to.
I think Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now was the "This Is Me"?
You think they were Hollywood radio people saying, "How did Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now not win?
It's made for the Oscars."
Well, they had a better anthem.
Yeah, Time of My Life, number one.
Because of Get Out, because of Patrick Swayze, because of that movie and how it works so damn well, because of the choreography that must have been practiced by that group of dirty dancers.
Because of Jennifer Grey having my heart, yes.
Jennifer Grey, yeah. Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's what we got for the 1987 Best Original Song from the 60th Academy Awards. Let us know what your thoughts are about any of these songs. Do you think there are others that should have been nominated? Probably. Let us know. Reach out to us, Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, and Oscar on Twitter, Mike and Oscar on Reddit, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com, Mike and Oscar.com. We are on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, anywhere that you can hear podcasts.
Music and podcasts.
Yeah, type in, there you go.
This is perfect. Perfect mashup.
We're so smart. Just type in Mike and Oscar, and now feel free to give us a like if you like. Just drop us a line. We like responding and hearing from you guys.
Yeah, talk to us.
Otherwise, reality sucks. Keep watching movies and grooving out to these tunes with us, and we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.